You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Steel Town Sleepers. My name is Tony Squares. I'm joined by the Prince of Player Props himself, Mr. Chris Dell, excited with this post-Thanksgiving buzz to attack the fantasy football slate and talk about the Steelers post-Matt Canada and how that affects him from a fantasy football perspective. We are, of course, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We are on the at PG Sports Now YouTube channel, part of the North Shore Drive podcast family, and we come here every week, almost every week, telling you what to do with your fantasy team, who to start, who to sit, who you should be grabbing on the waiver wire, because we're making the final push for the playoffs right now, Dell. This is it. This is crunch time. Trade deadlines are probably passed in most of your leagues, so now it's all about who do you got available to you, and how do you start these players to catapult you into the playoffs? And if you're already there, how do you secure some guys that you know are going to have a juicy playoff schedule for the big game so we can win some money back in these leagues you've been fighting for all season long? But before we get to all of that, let's talk about Pittsburgh post-Thanksgiving. The holidays are here, Dell, and we got a Christmas present early. How are you feeling now that Matt Canada is gone?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling just like Steelers fans are feeling right now. I'm doing it from a fantasy perspective. I think Steelers fans are rejoicing just to have some more renewed sense of pride in the jerseys they're throwing over their backs every weekend. But I mean, you know, I think the sense of enthusiasm has continued since we heard the news last Tuesday morning, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, to now almost 10 days later, and we've had one full game under our belts in the Canada-less Steelers offense. And what we saw is kind of what people expected. It's really, you see the offense opening up, and yes, it was against at this point in the season, a subpar Cincinnati Bengals defense. But
yeah,
a couple things I wanted
as well.
Yeah, a couple things I wanted to focus in on in terms of what we're talking about. Not just, we're going to get into this weekend's Cardinals matchup, but want to talk about rest of season implications, because as you said, the fantasy football regular season's coming to a close. I've been writing a lot about strategies and different, trade techniques, waiver wire techniques, also looking ahead. It's really focusing in on fantasy playoff schedules for those who are either fighting for a playoff spot or getting ready to get into a playoff spot in the first or second round. So want to focus in a lot about that on this show. But in terms of the Steelers, I think it's really just easier said than done. It's wheels up. You know, what exactly does that mean for every member of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense? I think it means that Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris can both be started with confidence. They both had the equal amount of touches, almost 50-50 split in terms of overall snaps in week
13.
Can I
stop you right there with what you just said? Because I agree with it completely. Yeah. But the fact that this week, we're what, 3 months, four, 3.5 months after the start of the NFL season. Imagine 3.5 months ago telling yourself that you would say both Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are startable fantasy running backs. You would have been like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. But it's true.
It's true, and it's actually been something that's been true for the last couple of weeks. It's not just brand new. I think what we can say now is that we're confident in starting both, but they actually both have been viable top 20 backs for almost the last month. A big reason for that is we talked about it when they decided to finally start Broderick Jones at right tackle. The run game has seen a tremendous boost since. And we had a couple good articles up at post-gazette.com looking at Najee Harris quietly having the best season of his career. He's leading the league in terms of explosive runs of 10 to 15 yards, while Najee Harris is also leading the league.
Crazy statistic.
And you look at his build, and one of the questions, I think it was Paul Zeiss, our columnist, talked about is Najee Harris going to have a mid to late season Derrick Henry type of breakout in his career, given his size and overall explosiveness? And at this point, you want to give him credit, right? And I think that, again, at this point, if I had to have one, I would rather have still Jaylen Warren because of his pass catching upside, his big play explosiveness, not just the 10 to 20 yard runs, but the ability to house a play 75 yards to the house. But Pat Freiermuth, I think, is the big revelation here, because we saw that the route tree expanded for Kenny Pickett in terms of where he's throwing the football, but it didn't just go in terms of like, oh, we're not just going to run George Pickens down the sidelines on these go routes. We're not just going to force feed Deontay Johnson 20 targets a game at the line of scrimmage. It's like, hey, can Kenny Pickett actually throw the ball in the middle of the field, Tony? And we saw, yes, he can, and he can do it with confidence, and he did it with confidence to Pat Freiermuth. And to me, that's vaulted Pat Freiermuth up into the top six, top seven overall fantasy tight ends for the rest of the season. You're only looking at guys like George Kittle, Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson. He's right in the level of, you know, the Mark Andrews, the Taysom Hills, the Jake Fergusons, and you can argue that he's even higher above those guys, kind of borderline top five at this point. So we talked about waiting to buy him because that the first came back was against the Cleveland Browns and he was shut down, as we talked about. But obviously, if you did buy him after that game or around that time, you've definitely been rewarded in a big way, especially with Mark Andrews being ruled out of that top five for the rest of the season. So again, wheels up for the running backs and the tight end. I think Kenny Pickett in the right matchup is a viable streamer. But unfortunately, the one area where we had confidence before and we don't have confidence now is the wide receivers. I don't know if it's just a short-term blip on the radar. Your boy George Pickens, my boy Deontay Johnson, they just can't seem to
have that groove here. George Pickens, I love him to death. He's not my boy anymore. He's officially been traded off of my fantasy team in my home league. So he did his part. He pulled his weight. It's over now, George. You've led me to greener pasture.
What did you get for George Pickens, Tony? I want to know that.
George Pickens and a draft pick for DK Metcalf, making that playoff push, baby. And listen, I love George Pickens, and I just wish Kenny Pickett could hit him on a slant route once every 10 tries. You're absolutely right about Freiermuth, though, especially on the defenses that he's been facing over the past few weeks. When teams play that cover two shell type defense, Freiermuth destroys the middle of the field against those teams. And this matchup in particular against Arizona, they play that cover two shell defense more than any other defense in the league. Yeah. And Pat Freiermuth should again have those seam routes open in the middle. And Kenny Pickett has shown he is not afraid to whip that ball in there, and Freiermuth can catch it. So I'm excited to see what Freiermuth does against Arizona. But let's jump in to this week's games. Let's go through position by position while we always do and give out the Steel Town sleepers, because as we said before, it is crunch time. And again, we're not going to talk about here who you should start. Well, you should start Pat Mahomes. Of course, you're starting Pat Mahomes. We're talking about this week in particular. A lot of teams are on a bye. Six teams on a bye when you need this win in order to make the playoffs, including guys like Lamar Jackson. So we're trying to find you little helpers. Maybe they're on your bench. Maybe they're on your waiver wire. Maybe you can get them in a late trade deadline. This is the time to attack. So we're going to navigate some dudes that we think you should jump on. And we're going to start at the quarterback position. Last time we recorded here, we did really well. Dell gave out the sixth best quarterback. I gave out the ninth best quarterback, my man Jordan Love. And I told you to buy Jordan Love at that time. If you had, you would have had him for Thanksgiving as well when he destroyed the Detroit Lions. So I'm excited to talk about quarterbacks again. I got two guys on here that I know are owned in a lot of leagues, but one of them I'm staying away from. But Dell, let's hear you first. What's the first quarterback we're talking about in the Steel Town Sleepers?
Yeah, and I just want to talk about real quick before I get into the quarterback position here is looking ahead, right? Like, it's week 13 now. You got basically 2 weeks left. You either have clinched a spot already or you're fighting for a playoff spot. So if you're fighting for a playoff spot, what you want to do if your quarterback is set and you're not really sure at defense, even if you have a top-tier defense like the Dallas Cowboys, you want to be looking at the waiver wire to see what defense are available for week 14. Also for week 15, if you do happen to get into the playoffs and you don't have a first-round bye in week 15, I think that there's, you know, a lot of leagues in terms of, like, you know, standard 10 to 12 team leagues with medium-sized benches, you're going to be looking at a lot of defenses available who are under that 50% ownership threshold. And one thing specifically is what quarterbacks do you want to stream your defenses against? I think right now you're looking at teams that are playing the Jets, picking up the Falcons for this week, teams that are playing against the Patriots, they're playing against the Chargers. Those are viable streaming defenses that can really give you a leg up against your opponent. So I'm looking ahead to my playoff schedules. If you've already clinched a playoff spot, Tony, I'm looking at week 15, 16, 17 already. Or if I have a bye secured already, if I'm in first place and I know I'm going to get a first round bye in week 15, I'm looking at my week 16 starting lineup. I'm looking at my week 17 starting lineup. I'm saying, where do I have holes to fill? For example, if CJ Stroud's been riding you here all the way to the playoff promised land, looking at week 16, he plays against the Cleveland Browns. You might want to consider possibly playing a streamer in his place in the fantasy football semifinals. So look ahead. You can go on these apps, whether it's ESPN, Yahoo. You can go ahead to multiple weeks at the end of the year to see, what is my starting lineup? Try to set that lineup and see where you have those holes to fill. then go drop your backup tight end, go drop your third string quarterback, fill those holes with looking ahead to stashing those defenses with high upside. So that's what I'm doing right now to prepare, whether I've already clinched a spot, whether I'm fighting to get in the playoffs in my leagues overall. But looking at the quarterback position here, I think that this week it's, you know, we have a lot of teams obviously on bye here. We don't have Lamar Jackson in his standard spot. But one quarterback that I really like a lot is in the top 10, and I think he's catapulted himself there as well, is Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray is continuing to do things with his legs. He's continuing to throw the ball. He's getting a little bit better each and every week. And now he has a matchup here. Yes, we talked about the Steelers playing well on defense, but they have been known to give up chunk plays through the air as well as on the ground here. Kyler Murray, in his three games back, he's been no worse than quarterback 13 on any given week in three straight games now. He's been quarterback 6 2 weeks ago. He was quarterback 9 last week. You look at the rushing, it's continuing to be there as well. He didn't run much last week against the Rams, but it was in a game where they were blown out, but he still threw for 256 yards overall. So, you know, he did get you that rushing touchdown. He's had a rushing touchdown actually in three straight games, but that's a part of his game. And I think that for someone like Kyler Murray, yes, he has a bye week coming up in week 14, but I'm going to start him and stream him confidently against the Steelers in week 13. And then you look at week 15, San Francisco, tough matchup, but it's a pass funnel defense. And then great matchups in week 16 and 17 as well. So I'm starting Kyler Murray confidently, not just this week, but most likely for the rest of the fantasy playoffs as well.
Well, I like that. It's an interesting one because I do believe Pittsburgh is going to be able to score on Arizona. So Kyler should be able to play a little catch up here, get some cheap fantasy points. But that Steelers defense is turning it on when they're supposed to. So a little bit worried about that one. I might be talking about that defense in a second. But if you're going to start Kyler, I think it's starting him over the guy I'm about to mention, because this guy, if you've drafted him, you drafted him late as your quarterback, and he's probably outperformed the guy you drafted before him. He has been a great quarterback for most of the year, but the past 2 weeks, he's kind of fallen back down to earth. He's throwing the ball to places he shouldn't. He's losing to teams that he really shouldn't listen to in these divisional games. And of course, he gets upset on Thanksgiving. And this week in particular, I think Jared Goff has another bad week. And it's nothing against Detroit. I think Detroit's offensive line is great. I think their run game is great. It's all about who they're going up against, and it's the New Orleans Saints defense that I hate. This New Orleans Saints team, I hate watching this team, but their defense, especially against the pass, still plays really well. And also, if you just look at the grand scheme of things, New Orleans just lost a heartbreaker divisional game to Atlanta. They're now behind the line here on trying to get that divisional crown. They have their backs up against the wall. This is going to be a game where they go all out. They need to win this game. Detroit obviously having the short rest, got upset on Thanksgiving. They want to show up as well, but New Orleans particularly is going to be doing what they do best, and that's trying to stop the pass. In fact, the New Orleans defense is third best in the league giving up passer rating. They've given up the sixth least yards to quarterbacks. And also, if you look at all the quarterbacks that they've played, only one quarterback has thrown for over 260 yards in a game against them, and that is Josh Dobbs. And the New Orleans Saints defense has given up a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks, but a lot of that has come on the ground, the rushing attack. And Jared Goff is not to have that in his game. He has to pass the ball in order to be successful as a fantasy quarterback, and I think he's not going to be able to do so this week against the Saints. I'm sitting Jared Goff. I'm going for a bust. And the last time I told you that, I said Dak Prescott was going to be a bust. He ended up being QB 17, his worst finish. Dak Prescott's an MVP candidate now, but that was the only bad week he had. So I got a big nose and the nose for these as well. So I'm off a Jared Goff. That rhymed, Dell. I didn't even try to do that in that rhyme. Dell, who's the second quarterback you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's a tough one this week for quarterbacks. I'm pretty in line, whether it's, you know, love or hating guys, compared to the expert consensus rankings in the industry right now. But kind of looking at the board in the top 10, top 15 range, I'm with you on Goff. I'm one spot lower than him. You add to the fact that he's always historically been less, I guess, efficient overall on the road in his career games. I think one quarterback where I'm starting to question not just this week, although I think he's always a candidate to get there in garbage time, is for the rest of the season, Sam Howell for Washington. And they have a tough matchup against Miami. Not much has been given credit for the new-look Dolphins defense. They actually have been playing better as of late. Yes, against elite teams, they've still been a little suspect, but this Washington offense is not really scaring me. And you look at Sam Howell overall, they've kind of changed the offense a little bit to where they're not necessarily letting them sling it all over the field, deep intermediate levels of the field. It's a lot of dink and dunk in terms of those high pass attempts per game. The rushing hasn't necessarily been all that great, even though you'll take as much as you can get of it. But I think that here, a home matchup against Miami, the Commanders, they're going to have some trouble dealing with the cornerbacks, especially Jalen Ramsey on the outside. So I'm slightly downgrading Sam Howell for this matchup. I've got him as my QB10, probably in that third tier overall, one spot lower than consensus. But I'd rather have Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, those folks over Sam Howell this week, even though the season-long numbers support Sam Howell instead.
I know he has been a revelation in the fantasy world as a quarterback in that offense, especially because they're behind all the time. But I will say Sam Howell, when it comes to you talking about looking ahead, Sam Howell does have the second hardest playoff strength of schedule from the quarterback position. So he's a kind of a guy that you don't want to be relying on in those games. I'm going to give you a guy, though, that I think I know has the second easiest strength of schedule when it comes to playoff matchups. And it's a guy who's ranked pretty high in the individual rankings, but I think he deserves to be even higher. And he's also a guy that I think needs to be considered amongst the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, even though people look at him and go, oh yeah, it's just the offense. It's just the play caller. As Brock Purdy of the San Francisco 49ers. Listen, this guy deserving of MVP votes in my mind, because he leads the league in completion percentage, in QB rating, passer rating, yards per attempt, yards per completion, air yards per attempt, all of these stats he is leading. And I did a video earlier this week comparing those stats to MVPs of the past, and they're right in line with the numbers that Aaron Rodgers was putting up during his two MVP years, the most recently in Green Bay. Brock Purdy is slinging the rock. That's all to say. And he's playing this Philly matchup in a huge matchup. Everyone's going to be watching this game. Usually these games, when there's that much tension, that much stress, they usually are a little bit slower to go. These lines tend to hit the under a little bit, but I am all aboard Brock Purdy in this game, slinging the rock, because the Philadelphia Eagles have shown the 31st most fantasy points to quarterbacks come against this Eagles defense. And they stop the run very well, the Eagles do, but they cannot stop the pass. And I think guys like Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel's calling their cornerbacks trash. I just think there's a lot of fun to be had in this game. And I want the guy slinging the rock as my quarterback this week. I think Brock Purdy has a huge week. Jalen Hurts on the other end probably matches him spot for spot, but I think Purdy's going to be slinging it. And I have all the faith in the world putting that man in my starting lineup, do or die, this week in fantasy. Dell, what do you think about that one?
I like it. I mean, I have Purdy QB5, and it's amazing that he's gone up the ranks so high. We have a lot of quarterbacks on bye week, but he's a locked-in, top-10 quarterback at this point. You know, we always talk about who's going to lose targets when you have Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle all healthy at the same time. And usually one of them will hurt week to week in terms of their overall production. Last week it was George Kittle, but the one person who actually benefits is Brock Purdy because he has a full arsenal of weapons, fully healthy here. And you mentioned this is one of those defenses, the Philadelphia Eagles, where you want to attack their secondary overall. They're giving up a lot of production. So, you know, this makes opposing quarterbacks viable for streamers. Obviously, you're starting Purdy pretty much weekly now at this point regardless, but love the matchup overall for the San Francisco 49ers. And I will be looking – if I need to stream quarterbacks throughout the fantasy playoffs – that is one of the defenses I'll be looking to attack with my streaming quarterbacks is against Philly. Mm-hmm.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I love it. Do you have any other quarterbacks we want to talk about? Maybe a bust of the week, or is Howell considering your bust of the week?
No, Howell's considering my bust, and I'm just I'm looking ahead to some of these matchups overall. Like some of the teams that I want to attack, I just wrote a couple down here, is these pass funnel type of defenses that are good at stopping the run. Philly is one of them. The Chicago Bears have been a top five defense against the run over the last month and a half now. That's a defense where they've been giving up a ton of production through the pass. So it's almost too predictable that no matter what the game script's going to be, teams are going to struggle running against them. And whether it's a blowout one way or the other, they're going to have success through the air. Tennessee is another example of that. Indianapolis, the Los Angeles Chargers, they're pretty much just bad defenses overall, but those are defenses that their opposing offenses like to run a lot of plays. So if I'm looking to stream, you know, my third string wide receiver, my flex spot, my quarterback, I will be looking at those as some of the defenses that I want to target. Throw Arizona into them. I think that Kenny Pickett, if you're desperate, is a viable streaming option this week as well. So those are some of the defenses I'm targeting overall. Philly, Chicago, Titans, Colts, Chargers, Cardinals that I want to be streaming against with my quarterbacks on a week-to-week basis right now.
No, I'm right there with you, and I'm happy you brought that up because what you just said, targeting specific defenses and staying away from other defenses, is exactly how I'm attacking the running backs we're about to be talking about. So let's jump right into the running back world. Dell.
And Sorry, Tony. I will say Detroit. Yeah. That's another defense I want to be streaming all positions against. Their defense has been giving up gobs of production no matter what position it is. They're getting in the shootouts left and right. So if you've got a player playing against the Detroit Lions, and he's close in the rankings to a guy that's playing against, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys, more often than not, I'm always going to take that guy going up against Detroit in that scenario.
God, it was great watching Green Bay beat the piss out of them. Dell, the first running back you want to talk about today, who? What are we going down here? Because I got a handful I'm excited about here.
Yeah, I got a handful as well here. I'm going to start off right at the top where ECR, Expert Consensus Rankings, has him as RB11. I've got him as RB6, and he's playing against your Packers. It's Isaiah Pacheco here. You look at the usage overall, and it's you can't really deny that Pacheco's become a workhorse back. I've got him in my rest of the season rankings all the way up at RB5 for the rest of the season. The only backs I have ahead of Pacheco for the rest of the year in fantasy are McCaffrey, Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams, and Tony Pollard. So I've got him right in that top tier of guys next to Alvin Kamara, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, the Lions backs, et cetera. So he's a bona fide top 10 option. You look at the matchup overall, the Packers, that's the one area they've been beat consistently is in the run game this year. And yes, they did play well against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, but they still are at best the middle of the pack in terms of opposing. They do give up a lot of opposing receptions and targets to running backs in the pass game. So I think a big upgrade for Pacheco here, if he's in that fringe kind of top 10 to 12 discussion, if you're in a shorter 10-team league, I think he's a guaranteed kind of lock starter at running back this week.
I want to talk about two guys that I think, I don't know if they're top 10, but definitely should be higher than the expert consensus rankings have them at. In fact, I've got three running backs I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about them all at once because, Dell, they're all in the same game. And they're all about specifically the Steeltown Sleepers. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers-Arizona Cardinals game. And last week got away from us with Thanksgiving, and I'm so mad because I did do my research. I did have a list of names that I wanted to talk about, and I was so ready to stand here and tell you that, yes, Joe Burrow went down, Jake Browning is in there, and yes, they're going to try to feed Joe Mixon in this game to get them by, win the time of possession battle, and I was going to sell you on selling Joe Mixon and how right I was against this Pittsburgh defense. 8 carries for 16 yards, 2 catches for 44 yards, but we know one of those catches was a screen pass where he dodged 17 people like Frogger, and that shouldn't have been as long as it was. It was very lucky to get the points that he got in that game. And so I can tell you once again that this Pittsburgh defense stops the run with the absolute best of them now that they are fully healthy in those front 7. And I think James Conner is in for a terrible, terrible day. James Conner has had a great season as a fantasy running back when he was healthy earlier this year. It's not there the past few weeks. And I think if the struggles continue, I would not start him at all, especially if I needed a win in my fantasy league. But the two running backs I will start are the two Pittsburgh Steelers running backs. We talked about them earlier. This offense has become a lot more explosive. Teams are going to have to start spreading out the defense a little bit more to cover those Pat Freiermuth plays down the field. It's going to open up stuff for both Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. They both play 50% of the snaps. You can start either one of them. Expect to see them on the field at most of the time. And I think it's just been such a productive offense over the past few weeks. And in this Cardinals game, where I expect Pittsburgh to get a lead early, I expect Pittsburgh to run the ball late, and I expect Pittsburgh to control time of possession, I think Najee and Warren both get a boatload of work in this game. I'd be fine starting either one of them and sitting James Conner. Those are the three running backs I wanted to give out. I think that's a slam dunk when it comes to this game. I think they can both win you weeks, and James Conner will lose you this week. Do you agree or disagree with my take on those three?
I agree with your take on the Steelers' backs. I don't know if James Conner can lose you a week because the usage has been decent, but they're still mixing in the other guys too much. Michael Carter, Amari DiMercato on third down. So I do agree that Najee and Jalen have shown the upside, especially against his defense. I mean, this is the ultimate primos fantasy type of running back matchup here. The Cardinals are dead last in PFF rush defense. They're bottom five in ESPN's run stop win rate. So we're showing a big upgrade and advantage for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the ground, which is where they want to attack here overall. So I'm with you there. And I've got them firmly in my top 20, not just this week, but for the rest of the season, regardless of matchup too. So
I think both of them are top 12 starts, in my opinion, because you mentioned the defense, and I did want to say one thing about this Cardinals defense. According to CBS, they give up the second most fantasy points per game to the running back position. The team that's first is the Denver Broncos, and we know it's only like that because they gave up 70 in one game to Miami there. Those numbers are kind of skewed. Arizona's been the worst defense over the past 8 weeks for us running backs by far. And it's a slam dunk. Anytime you're playing them, you're playing all those running backs. Dell, do you have another running back you want to talk about?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk about a guy that I'm actually low on. I believe it was 2 weeks ago we talked about him as well. And I just – the gimmick is up. I don't understand what the expert consensus rankers are doing here, putting Breece Hall all the way at RB15. It just makes no sense to me. We could have a whole other discussion on Robert Saleh. It's seemingly becoming like the most stubborn-headed head
dead
coach
man walking
in the entire
Robert Saleh.
Why did he stick with Zach Wilson so long? Why is he sticking with Tim Boyle after we saw what Tim Boyle can't do on the football field last week? Just give the ball to Trevor Siemian. At this point, yeah, it's Trevor Siemian, but you can't tell me he's not the best quarterback on that roster. And if you're not trying to flip through these QBs week to week to try to save your season with Aaron Rodgers risking his career coming back so early off this Achilles injury, I don't understand what the Jets are doing. And Breece Hall is going to suffer because they're facing opposing defenses in terms of the highest amount of stack boxes in the league when in terms of facing the run. We know that when Breece Hall is on the field, the Jets want to run the ball with Breece Hall. And we know that he's explosive, but you can't be explosive when you've got 10-plus guys stacking the box on the other side of the field, point blank, period. Now, what makes matters worse here is the Atlanta Falcons. They have the number 2 overall graded run defense, according to PFF. They have a top 10 run defense in terms of ESPN's run stop win rate as well. You look at the Jets and their run blocking, they're bottom 8 in both of those categories on the flip side in terms of run block win rate. So I have the biggest run blocking disadvantage of the week is with the Jets going up against this Atlanta Falcons front line here. So I think it's going to be tough sledding once again for Breece Hall. And you mentioned about James Conner losing you a week. And while that's fair, and I don't want to go there yet because he's still just a couple weeks coming back, you know, Breece Hall, where you drafted him and where you were starting him just about a month or two ago, he is losing you weeks. You know, 3 out of the last 4 weeks, he's been RB 30 or worse. And when you look at half PPR, full PPR formats, it gets even worse at the same time. Even with 9 targets and 7 catches, still finishes as PPR, half PPR, RB 30, just not doing anything there for you. The tough part is that even if he is going to rack up those targets and receptions, this team, frankly, is not scoring touchdowns. And when you take that touchdown equity away, it just gives absolutely no upside to Breece Hall. So at this point, if you've still got a trade deadline, if you could sell Breece Hall, I would try to do it. But you're probably not at that point where you can get anything of value in return. So for him, you know, if it's between Breece Hall and a guy, you know, like a, let's say a Brian Robinson, a James Conner, you know, in the right matchup, a Jerome Ford, I'm starting Jerome Ford every single day of the week over a Breece Hall just because that upside alone. That's where I'm at with Breece Hall right now.
The only question I have about that, Jets versus Atlanta, what's the one thing the Jets needed right now other than a competent quarterback? They need hope. They need just a slimmer of hope. And what did they get this week? Aaron Rodgers practicing on the football field with them once again. And so you're coming at it from a stats angle, and you're absolutely right with the way you're breaking this down. I'm coming at it from, if I'm on the Jets defense in particular, the best unit on the field in that game, no matter who Atlanta puts out there, is going to be the Jets defense. And I see Aaron Rodgers being like, that MFer is just a few days away from being our quarterback. We just need to stay above water, do everything we can to stay above water. And who better to play against than Desmond Ridder? this awful passing offense of Atlanta. The Jets are 31st against the run. They're out there all the time. They have to stop the run. They're going to have to stop the run in this game. But if they can stop that run and force Desmond Ridder to throw them the ball, he's going to be throwing some interceptions, giving some short yardage stuff there. And yes, that New York Jets offense is terrible. But if I get a bunch of short yardage plays from my defense causing turnovers and I just need Breece Hall to knock one across the goal line, I think that's a possibility. I think this is the last stand. This is remember the Alamo week for the New York Jets. This is it. I would not bet this game. I am scared to play anyone in this game. I do not know how it comes out because on paper, Atlanta should kill them. But this is it. All they needed was hope. And this is the last hope that they got. I'd be scared. I'd be scared, Del. That's all I want to say.
I don't think Atlanta should kill them. I'm just still worried about the
Jets. Atlanta should kill them. Atlanta's one of the best rushing off, should be one of the best rushing offense in the league. New York Jets can't stop the run at all this year. I think Atlanta should control the clock and kill them. Passing offense, defense in Atlanta is great. Like Atlanta on paper is a much better team and matches up well, but I'm afraid that the Jets have a slimmer of hope.
This just has like a 15-9 game, all field goals written all over it to me. Right. I don't trust Desmond Ridder. I don't trust the Falcons offense, and I certainly don't trust the Jets offense here. So I think the Jets certainly can win with their defense, but you know, will the offense score one touchdown? I think it's a 50-50 proposition at this point.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Unless you have another running back you want to talk about, but moving on to the wide receiver position. I believe you're putting down Breece Hall as your bust of the week here.
Yeah, he's my bust. One of the guys just you brought up the matchup is I'm actually low on Devin Singletary too. Not just this week, but for the rest of the year. Yeah, he popped off for those back to back 100+ yard rushing games a few weeks back. But Damian Pierce got back into the fold, and we saw Devin Singletary's usage shrink a lot. He became kind of the de facto third down passing back. Had a team high 7 targets out of the backfield. Only had 6 carries for 18 yards overall against the Jaguars. He was RB28 in standard scoring that week. And RB20 overall. So he's going to be kind of a middling type of flex option. He's going to be splitting the touches, splitting the snaps with Pierce. And against this Broncos defense, you brought up that they gave up all those points to the Miami Dolphins a couple months ago. This defense is much improved. So you can't look at those season-long stats for Devin Singletary and think, well, this is the best matchup he's going to get all year. That's where season-long stats start to lie at this point in the season. So I'm relatively low, not just now. Like we would have to have an injury to either Singletary or Pierce for me to feel really confident in terms of ranking one of these two backs in the top 20 week to week from now on.
I'll also say Houston has the third hardest strength of schedule in the playoffs for running backs. So yeah, I'd be a little bit worried about the future, either Damian Pierce or Devin Singletary as my running back in the fantasy playoffs. Let's move on to the wide receivers though, Dell. A lot of, a lot of big teams on bye weeks this week. A lot of other big teams, big names with really tough matchups. So I'm interested to see where you're going in the Steeltown Sleepers versions of wide receivers. Who's the first guy you want to talk about?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, there's two offenses I like a lot here. And one of them we talked about already with Brock Purdy. You know, Brandon Ayuk, I don't want to say him. He's already ranked in the top 10. But I'm just as equally high on Deebo Samuel. I've got him as my wide receiver 11 on the week. I also think in a similar type of matchup, because we talked about that one already, that Philly's a pass funnel type of defense here.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos, similarly, like this is a team where their offense has been improved. And while they're not just like a cakewalk matchup for the run, you still can have production against them. And I really like what Nico Collins has done since he came back a few weeks back too here. And I trust CJ Stroud to not just feed Tank Dell, but to also feed Nico Collins. So we've seen now for Nico Collins over the last 2 weeks, 14 catches on 20 targets for 169 yards overall and a touchdown. So he has the profile of being this team's number one wideout, that X type of receiver on the boundary. And while it might be him and Tank Dell overall kind of splitting those targets, that's totally fine with me. You know, Nico Collins was the half PPR wide receiver 6 against Jacksonville week 12 in that loss. I think it's a very similar type of situation here where we have a healthy 47.5 point game total in this matchup to where I'm expecting both offenses to show up here and put up some points. And I think that Collins and Dell could both put in top 10 receiver performances in the same week. That's how good I think Stroud is and this offense is overall here. So I don't think it's just like, hey, start everyone against the Broncos. But when you have talent to this level as what the Texans passing game does, they're locked in top 10 options for me, both Tank Dell and Nico Collins this week.
See, I tend to disagree with you on that one. You guys know I love C.J. Stroud and I love this Houston offense. I just traded for Nico Collins at my trade deadline. Very excited to have him for the rest of the playoffs here. But the thing that worries me about this matchup in particular is C.J. Stroud is so good at not only throwing the ball, but also seeing what the defense is giving him and going through his progressions. And the Denver Broncos defense has stepped up in part because Pat Surtain has sort of come back to the top of these shutdown corners. And I think if you put Surtain on Nico Collins, whereas Tank Dell's more in the middle of the field, I think CJ is going to look at Nico. He's covered. All right, going to Tank. I just think it's going to be constant. I do think the target share is going to heavily favor Tank Dell in this matchup. And I'm kind of afraid Nico's kind of going to be lost in the sauce here as Surtain, who is still a very good corner, very young corner, matches up well physically against the bigger Nico Collins. I'm a little bit worried Nico is going to be shut out completely in this game. So I don't know if I would slam dunk a start on him. I'm excited that you have him there because I'm forced to play him this week in my fantasy league, but I disagree with you there. And there's a guy. Well, go for it.
Yeah. One thing you want to just note here is when you kind of sometimes might, not you, but just anyone, myself included, can make assumptions based off what we think certain guys' roles are. Tank Dell is not the slot receiver for the Texans. Last week, it was Robert Woods who led the team with 16 slot routes. Dalton Schultz was second with 12. Tank Dell ran 11 routes out of the slot. Nico Collins ran 8. So they were very similar in terms of their slot route rate. So this is an offense that's being creative with their playmakers. They're not just lining these guys up in one position. And when you talk about someone like Surtain, yes, traditional football, he's going to line up with that X receiver. But both Dell and Collins ran an equal amount of 31 routes out wide last week. Tank Dell, he's still listed with that questionable tag. He's listed with a calf injury right now. So I'm hoping he's going to be a full go for the sake of my own fantasy teams here. But just keep that in mind is that they're using these guys in creative ways to where they're not going to get locked up just with that traditional shadow matchup, which is why I'm trying to keep them as close in the rankings as possible, even though it's Dell who's been the clear fantasy superstar while Nico Collins was out last month.
Speaking of mixing things up and running certain offenses or certain plays for certain players, there's no one in the NFL better at doing that than Sean McVay and these Los Angeles Rams. And it's a big matchup that they have, especially when it comes to playoff pushes in the NFL standings, than they have this week against the Cleveland Browns. And I am very worried, even though this man gets almost 20% of the plays specifically called to get the target to him, I'm a little bit worried that my baby boy, my little boy that I held in my arms from birth and I raised him to be the man he is today. I'm one of the only men in America to draft Puka Nacua, and I am not starting him this week against this Cleveland Browns team. They have been so good. The Browns defense has been so good at shutting down the pass, but also the past few weeks, Puka has been used in so many ways by Sean McVay, but it has not produced big fantasy numbers because defense now know Cup is not Cooper Cup right now. There is something off with him. They do not need to put the entire defensive focus on Cooper Cup. They can attack Matthew Stafford behind this really bad offensive line. And if they put some type of coverage on Puka, he can't break double coverage. He can break singles. He can be open in the middle of the field when it's one-on-one with a cornerback, but when you don't have to worry about Cooper Kupp and you don't have to worry about this offensive line, all you got to do is stop that awesome run offense and make sure Puka Nacua is covered. He really has been shut out the past few games. And the defensive coordinator for Cleveland is a fantastic defensive mastermind. And I just think Puka Nacua is completely taken out of this game. And it stings for me to say it. It stings for me to say it because I love the man. But I'm sitting Puka. And again, if you were in a do-or-die matchup right now, you know you're looking at your lineup and going, oh, Puka start. Like, it's not even a question in your mind. Puka start. He started every week for me. He's the reason I have as many wins as I do. But I'm just telling you, take a second look, and I would sit Puka this week. Dell, am I wrong for saying that?
No, I've got Puka. Like, when I submit my weekly fantasy rankings, Fantasy Pros will say, got see guys that I'm like, 20 spots higher or lower on, they'd be like, are you sure you didn't make a mistake here? And they did that with Puka Nacua. I've got him ranked as wide receiver 34 this week, 18 spots below consensus. That's a huge gap. I don't know if I'm going to shorten that up, but I've got the Steelers receivers ahead of him because you look at what
George Pickens.
I've got Pickens and Deontay Johnson because of the matchup. The Arizona matchup is just so fruitful for fantasy wide receivers. And you talk about the route tree for the Rams. Cooper Kupp is running 85% of his routes out of the slot last week, 29 slot routes, just 12 slot routes for Puka. So even though he's getting in there every now and again, it's predominantly Cooper Kupp in this offense doing that, which means that 20 routes out wide for Puka. So he will see a decent amount of Denzel Ward in this game. Yep. And I think that the fact that the Browns offense can't really keep up, we're not confident in the fact that they can keep up, right? Whether it's PJ Walker, Joe Flacco, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, we've seen Sean McVay willingly lean on little Kyren Williams, whether it's, you know, through the air out of the backfield, just running off tackle, through the tackles, whatever it is. How much will LA try to push the issue through the air here? That's what kind of worries me a little bit. So I'm struggling even to put Cooper Kupp too high, really, in my rankings. I've got Cooper Kupp right now, I think, at wide receiver 25, which is four spots below consensus. So, you know,
hold on. You have Cooper Kupp rated above Puka in this matchup. Okay.
Yeah, because, look, I mean, you can say all you want about what Puka's done this year, but he hasn't done it in a few weeks. And you can't just look at a one-year sample either. You want to at least try to blend in some historical data that we have that Cooper Kupp's been a fantasy goat, you know, for better or worse words. You know, over the last couple of years, we know what he can do with Stafford in this offense here. So I've got Puka ranked considerably lower. I don't want to – and a lot's been said about Puka is that, you know, like you said, defenses know about him now, right? So, he hasn't been put through the gauntlet in college in terms of the competition that he saw, the amount of games he played per year. He's kind of hitting that rookie wall. We've seen that happen with other receivers throughout the past. So that's what worries me about Puka is that he was a later round pick for a reason. And I think just based off his overall savviness and football IQ, he's exceeded expectations. But what happens when the rest of the league catches up? Not saying his career is over, right? I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that maybe he might never be the wide receiver we saw in the first month or two of the season. That's what I'm saying right now.
How dare you? I will say this game in particular, with what Cleveland wants to do offensively and with what Sean McVay, how he's going to attack this Cleveland defense, I think there could be like six total possessions each half where all these teams are just going to try to get 3 yards in a cloud of dust to keep the ball, keep time of possession, keep their defense off the field, slowly matriculate down the field and get a field goal when you can, get points when you can. It's just not a lot of big plays in this game by either side. So I'd be a little bit worried about even opportunity and number of plays in this game. But yeah, sitting Puka.
The biggest pass rush mismatch of the week is the Browns front four over the Rams offensive line. Browns are number three in PFF pass rush grade, number four in ESPN's pass rush win rate. The Rams are bottom 10 in both those categories. So how much time will Stafford even have to find Puka when he drops back in this game?
I honestly, unless Cleveland for some reason puts up some big score early and the Rams fall behind, I'd be very surprised if Stafford has more than 20 attempts in this game. That's the genuine number for me. Dale, you gave out Deebo you really like. You really talked about Nico that you really like. Give me another wide receiver that we want to focus on, whether it's a bust of the week candidate or whether it's another guy you want people to start.
I want to keep my eye on the Texans situation because if Noah Brown does play, I think that he might be locked in the three receiver sets in this offense. And if it's just
Nico Collins,
and Noah Brown, yes, over Bobby Trees, whoever else are going to rotate in there. I think that Noah Brown, what he did earlier in the season, yes, albeit certain guys were hurt, but the last time we saw him, you know, he had 320 plus yards in back-to-back games. It's not a fluke, right? At least that much. So I think that Noah Brown is talented and he adds another dimension to this offense. We've already seen the target volume go down for Dalton Schultz over the last few weeks, even with Brown out of the lineup. So I think that, yes, maybe not every single week, but in most weeks with Stroud, with this offense, the way they're running plays, maybe three receivers can get there in the top 20. And I would throw Noah Brown into that list. If you're looking for that high upside, I'd rather start Noah Brown over both Rams receivers this week. That's where I'm at.
Yikes. Let's talk about a wide receiver. I'll end our little wide receiver segment here with a guy that a team I really don't like talking about. And Dell, you gave a quarterback earlier and sold Sam Howell. You said Sam Howell is not going to have a big week. I'm telling people to start Jahan Dotson. I just think he has a better finish than what the expert consensus rankings has because of the team that they're playing in the game script that we're going to be against. I think Terry McLaurin's going to have a very difficult day against the way that this defense is going to scheme and try to take Terry out of the game. I don't believe the Curtis Samuel numbers from last week were the what's going to continue. I think that was more of a fluke game than anything. And I just think the consistency of what Dotson gets target share wise, I do think Howell is going to be able to connect with him in a game that they're going to be down 20 points early and they're going to need to get the pass to keep going to try and win this game. Miami got a huge hit, probably the worst injury of the week last week, to their star defensive lineman, their main defensive line pressure guy. And now it's going to be harder for them to sack the quarterback, even though Sam Howell's offensive line is trash. Howell should have a little bit more time when he's dropping back to pass. I just think it opens it up for Dotson. And if you need a flex guy, if you need a guy, you're really out of options here. I do think Dotson gets some huge garbage time points for you. So I just wanted to lay that out as the final wide receiver I'm giving out today as I sadly sit Puka. But let's move on to the world of the tight end, Dell. We each give out one tight end here. Who's the one tight end you want to circle? Because now it's getting down to like the nitty gritty, man. You really have to win at the quarterback and the tight end position if you want to win these final weeks here, especially with all these buys on here. So it's very pivotal what tight end you choose. So who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to take the obvious here, Pat Freiermuth? Because
I think it's a slam dunk.
I think at this point, he's listed as the ECR tight end 10 on the week. I think that's just too low. I've got him.
It's ridiculous.
Got him at tight end 7, and I think that you can make a case for bumping him all the way up to tight end 5, which would be moving him over Evan Engram and Taysom Hill. The only reason I have Taysom Hill ranked so high is because they essentially have no wide receiver core in New Orleans right now, so I'm expecting a full complement of routes for both Juwan Johnson and Taysom Hill. That was going to be my second one I mentioned was Juwan Johnson, but Pat Freiermuth overall, he doesn't need injuries right now to be productive in this offense here. We saw them open up the middle of the field, and that meant throwing it to Pat Freiermuth. We've seen him produce in years past. This is nothing new for Pat Freiermuth. And the one thing he didn't do last week, which you've seen him do on multiple accounts in the past as well, is to be a clear-cut red zone threat for Kenny Pickett. With his size, with his overall savviness and his route-running abilities, 11 targets, 9 catches, 120 yards, didn't score a touchdown. So I think the touchdowns will come. He scored 2 touchdowns earlier in the season, even though the volume at the time was very, very low. And I don't know what the deal was with Matt Canada not trying to throw to the middle. It's one of those like Zoolander can't turn left type of things, but that's what it was. And we're seeing it now that when they do throw to the middle of the field, when Kenny Pickett does look there, Freiermuth is going to be a locked in option. And he has those talented receivers taking the attention away on the outside, and Deontay and George Pickens. So give me Pat Freiermuth, locked in top 5, at worst top 7 tight end this week.
The only reason I didn't have him is because I gave out the 2 running backs. I didn't want to go full Pittsburgh with my people here, but I'm right there with you with Freiermuth. I mean, looking at the grand slate of the NFL right now, I think you can say that now that Justin Jefferson will be coming back for the Vikings, there's 2 offenses in the league where the tight end is the most dangerous pass catcher. It's Kansas City and it's Pittsburgh. Mark Andrews is hurt. And Justin Jefferson is coming back. He's the most dangerous pass catcher in Minnesota. I can't name you another team where the tight end is the most dangerous pass catcher other than Kansas City with Kelsey and Pittsburgh with Freiermuth. Not saying Freiermuth is on the level of Kelsey and Hockenson, but just the way the script is run, I think Freiermuth is a must start. And the guy I'm giving out, you need a little bit of faith and you need to pay attention to the beat reporters and what the injury news is coming out of this team, because there are certain ways this goes that I like and there are certain ways this goes that I don't like. But the Los Angeles Rams give up the 4th most points to opposing tight ends this season. In the last 2 weeks, this was with the now concussed DTR for Cleveland, but David Njoku has just soared in targets. And I just think Njoku has a really nice chance to, if there's any hope to have a passing offense in Cleveland, I think it goes through David Njoku, and I would be starting him and just hoping. Just cross my fingers and hoping. If you're stuck and you have guys like Isaiah Likely on a bye or whatever, and you're just forced to pick up a dude off the waiver wire if he's still there, I do think David Njoku has a good week this week. That's the last tight end I want to give out. But Dell, it's time for the defense of the week.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, you know, I talked about it a little bit at the top here. I really like the Atlanta Falcons. If they have, if they happen to have been picked up and they're not available and you're still looking for someone on the waiver wires, I think that the Los Angeles Chargers are more than viable defense here. I know I've talked about them a lot. Certain weeks they've come through, certain weeks they haven't, but this week, maybe more than any, is how much I like them going up against Bailey Zappi and the New England Patriots here. So, and I think similarly goes to Tampa Bay. I really like Tampa Bay against Bryce Young and the Panthers. Jacksonville going up against Jake Browning. Like, so these are the this can be a weekly theme for us here. These are the quarterbacks that I want to be starting against with my fantasy DST in the playoffs is Tim Boyle, Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones, Bryce Young, Jake Browning, Desmond Ridder. Obviously the Jets are a high-owned defense, but whoever's playing the Falcons in the future, whoever's playing Justin Fields and the Bears, he likes to take a lot of sacks as well. Even Will Levis to this point in the season is another quarterback I'm going to look to stream against on a week-to-week basis. The New York Giants, a big-time one. Looking at to see if the Rams are available because they have, I believe it's either week 16 or 17 at home against the New York Giants. Aaron Donald against Tommy DeVito. You might have the Saints. You might have the Cowboys. They might have been taking you this far. I'd strongly consider starting the Rams over the Cowboys if the matchup is right. That's how fantasy DSTs goes on a week-to-week basis. So for now, again, Falcons and Chargers and Bucks, I really like them this week, but that's my strategy going forward the rest of the season. I'm looking to attack below-average quarterback play in the NFL, which we've seen a lot of.
And then what about – I'm putting you down for Atlanta, by the way. You named half of the offenses in the NFL, so I'm defense in the NFL. So I'm just putting you down for the first one. That's Atlanta. Who's the kicker, winner, kicker, dinner?
Yeah, so this is a tough one, but I'm going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I still trust the offense here to put up points and move the ball with Baker Mayfield. So Chase McLaughlin, former Colts kicker, has had some decent weeks this year. I've got him as my kicker number 12, two spots ahead of ECR. Overall, you know, he's had a couple boom-bust weeks this year. He was the kicker number 2 back in week 9. Been kind of middling since then, but has had tougher matchups against San Francisco, Indianapolis, Tennessee. I think against the Panthers here, divisional tight type of game, you're going to see some extra field goal attempts compared to normal. Not a big kicking week I like outside of the top 10. The whole Texan situation that, you know, I would have said Matt Amendola.
Cost him a game.
They were bringing in other kickers because he can't kick a field goal over 50 yards.
It cost him a game. Yeah, it might have cost him the division, Dell.
Let's just use that as a caveat here, right? You can use McLaughlin as my pick, but if you're looking for a late weekend type of kicker, check to see who the Texans sign and start because he's going to be valuable in a game with a 47.5 point total there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is it for this week of the Steel Town Sleepers, the post-Thanksgiving edition. We will be here with you for the rest of the regular season in your fantasy world and also the rest of the postseason in your fantasy world, trying to help you win week after week after week as me and Dell both go for our individual crowns in our own fantasy leagues. And we might have a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette fantasy league that I'm somehow still alive in, even though the trade deadline closed and I didn't know about it. I'm now left with 7 people on a bye and I can't make any moves whatsoever. But I'm trying, Dell. It's all that matters is I'm trying. This is it for the Steel Town Sleepers. Thanks for having us, Dell. This is a fun one.
As you can see, I'm coughing a lung over here. I traded my left lung to get Travis Kelce at the trade deadline in our Post Gazette Fantasy League. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I
want
to ask about that. I got an email that there was a trade. I'm like, oh, that might be smart. Let me make a trade. And then suddenly it was over. Did you close the trade deadline right after your trade went through? How'd that work out?
The trade went through about 30 minutes before the deadline. That's all I got to say.
Ridiculous. That's what I get for not being in the office. But hey, we'll see you next week.
All right, take it easy.